Lights are bright, we chase the sight. Media dreams. Welcome to another episode of the Publisher's Playbook. Today we have a very special guest. It's my colleague and director of partner growth at Impact.com, Rich Adin. Rich's journey to Impact is fascinating, from leading performance marketing at a global agency in Australia to moving to New York and now spearheading Impact.com's efforts to help publishers grow their business. I mean, this podcast is called the Publisher's Playbook for a reason. We focus on how publishers can not only survive, but how they can thrive in the performance industry. Rich shares how publishers can connect with brands, optimize their profiles, leverage their own first-party data, and even embrace paid placements. So if you're a publisher looking to get noticed in a crowded marketplace or curious where the industry is heading, this episode is packed with actionable advice and forward-thinking insights. As a little bonus, listeners of the show, if you're a publisher and you want to connect directly with Rich and her team to find out more about the Partner Growth Program, make sure to check out the link in the show notes and get in touch. All right, let's dive in. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jared. Nice to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting. You are the first Impact.com guest, meaning like that works at Impact on the entire Publisher's Playbook. So I'm really excited to have you on here. We've known each other for almost 3 years now. We've worked together. So this is the first time, though, that I think me and you have done like an interview type setup. So something new for both of us.
I agree. A little bit more formal, but I like it and I feel honored. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know, I know you told me you've been at Impact for how long now?
Actually, over 7 years. I was going to say close to, but yeah, it's been 7 and a few months now.
Yeah. And how did you start out? What was the reason? I mean, I came to Impact through an acquisition of Pressboard. So that's how I was introduced to Impact. How did you get introduced to Impact in the first place?
So there's an interesting backstory. So I'm going to take you a few years back in the past. So before joining Impact, I was leading the performance marketing team at Dentsu Aegis back in Sydney, Australia. So far, far away. But back then, my team was managing a sizable portfolio of clients on a tracking platform that wasn't up to the mark and wasn't meeting our team's requirements. So at the time, I kicked off like a RFP to get a better solution. And I already knew about Impact.com. It was Impact Radius back in the day. And once I started digging into the platform and looked at the advanced features, I was truly blown away. It was leagues ahead of anything else I'd seen out there. And then fast forward through the process, well, surprise, surprise, Impact won the RFP. And that's actually where I met Tyus, who was the Impact's chief revenue officer at the time. So the reason I'm bringing this story is because there's some connection to Impact.com and me being here. So soon after, I made a rather spontaneous decision to move countries. I had no jobs lined up. I didn't really have a plan, but I packed my bags and moved to the US to start fresh. And during this time, like I was interviewing with some companies and things were progressing well. But Tyus was also in touch with me and he graciously introduced me to the Impact team in the US. So from the very first conversation, it was pretty clear that their vision and culture actually aligned with my passions and goals. And thankfully, everything worked out and I joined the company back in August 2017. So the journey at Impact has been, I would say, quite diverse and fulfilling for me. And I have actually worked across a few different departments. So I started as a customer success director, working with some incredible clients like Amex and Shutterstock back in the day. And I realized quickly that my passion was more on the publisher side of the business. So it pulled me in another direction. And I started as the publisher director, but soon moving into and taking on more leadership roles in sales and business development for Pressboard. That's when I guess we were introduced as well. And Trackonomics, which is our other SaaS tool. And then finally establishing a new team and new product this year, earlier this year in February.
Yeah. That's interesting to come in as a client for like a where Impact is a vendor of yours, you know, like working agency side. It's like a reverse interview. You're essentially interviewing all these affiliate networks and platforms for your customers. What a good way to be able to figure out if this is a company you may want to work with in the future. So you've been on the agency side of the business. Now yes. You've been on the like inside of the business and you started out on more working with the advertisers and brands and then moved over to the publisher side. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's an interesting journey, right? So even prior to Dentsu, I used to work at a client side. So I have kind of seen different aspects of the ecosystem. And while at Impact specifically, I've been fortunate to lead different teams, I would want to give some credit to people who've helped me shape this journey and supported this journey. So leaders like Lisa Riolo, Dave Yuano, Per Pettersson, some of the early day founders and our CEO as well. And then Bryce Whitelist and yourself, you've been a part of my journey too. So thank you for kind of taking me through that.
I think everyone's basically learning from you. I like that you put that shout out to everybody. But your experience makes a big difference there. So you're in a new role now, a fairly new role over the last year. And you're heading up an area of the business that's focused on partner growth. So maybe explain, you know, why did this role come about in this department and this focus for Impact?
Yeah, sure. So that's correct. So I joined as the newly created Director of Partner Growth earlier this year, so in February of this year. So just to give you some context, like as a technology platform, Impact facilitates partnerships, right? It's through a marketplace where brands and publishers come together and connect. And while this marketplace is really, really good at automating the whole process of partnership creation, with thousands of partnerships being created every day, many publishers have unique needs and they require more support. So they basically are getting into this marketplace, trying to reach out to brands, but brands often don't understand what exactly they're promoting. And that's primarily because they are either doing something innovative, they have a bit more of a complex business. So what they're looking for is like a dedicated voice at Impact that basically helps them showcase their distinct capabilities and business models. To address this need, we experimented with the services model over the past few years, and the response from publishers was extremely positive. So that's how this role came about. And now I lead a team of 4 people based in New York and on the West Coast, helping publishers support, basically supporting them and help them grow their business. And our team collectively has over 40 years of experience in the performance marketing space with varied backgrounds from working on the network side, publisher side, agency side, and also the advertiser side.
Well, I find it interesting. So if you are a publisher at Impact, the challenge is there are a lot of publishers, right? Like a very robust marketplace has lots of brands, and then it also has lots of publishers, and they can all work together. That gives lots of diversity in who you're working with, but it also, I imagine, makes it challenging. If I'm a publisher, I know in a way I'm competing for attention of the brands with maybe 300,000 other partners. Like there's so many out there. So what are the best practices for a publisher? So if I'm a publisher, I come into Impact, I'm like, hey, I'd like to work with brands. I think I've got a good audience. I think I can promote some products that I love. What would you say are some of the best practices that a publisher should know?
Absolutely. So I think even before joining Impact as a publisher, I think first things that publishers should think about is, what is my strategy? Like, what am I trying to promote? What exactly are brands going to look for when they're evaluating partners, right? And also very basic stuff, but have a functional website. Like, you'll be surprised how many publishers actually apply. And when someone clicks on it, it says the website's coming soon or is in progress, right? So you want to make sure that you actually have all these basic things in place before you apply, so that first of all, your application is approved. And then you also have a strategy in place. So to think of the marketplace, like Impact specifically, but in general, the affiliate marketing industry, you can think of it as like a dating app. Like, it's primarily for publishers and advertisers, but essentially the goals are similar. You want to attract the right kind of brands that align with your goals, and you want to make sure that it's kind of a good match, right? So your profile needs to shine in the marketplace. You want to make sure all the information is filled out correctly, and that's something that brands are looking for. So the question as a publisher to ask yourself is, there are thousands of profiles out there. How will mine stand out? To your point, like, getting noticed is probably the most important thing. And publishers often miss out on this opportunity just because they don't spend enough time on the profile. So I would say that's kind of number one. Get the basics right. Make sure you have a strong profile. And there are certain other things that you can do, like variables, like making sure adding the right search keywords. So as a publisher, let's say, for example, you're a BNPL or a buy now, pay later publisher, at the top of your mind, you're like, okay, I want to add BNPL as a search term or fintech as a search term, pay in installments or something. And sure, when brands search for these terms, you'll show up. But what about brands who are thinking of like budgeting or saving kind of publishers or deal-oriented publishers? You will not show up for that. So especially if you are like showing up deals, making sure there's some kind of savings for publishers or for brands, sorry, and their users, you want to make sure you're adding all these different types of keywords so that when brands are searching for you, you show up. One pro tip I want to add here is that always add your competitor names, right? So if a brand is looking for a specific company and you're a competitor, you want to make sure you show up in that list as well.
I've never actually thought of that, that a publisher's profile isn't that different than, you know, a dating profile or even like having your website on Google, right? So when you're trying to get people to find your business on Google, you spend a ton of time making sure you have the right content on there, that you're on the right keywords, that you're positioned properly, because you know there's all this search traffic that's coming in and they'll guide you there. But if you think of Impact's Marketplace the same way, you've got all these brands that are searching for, you know, maybe you're right, maybe they don't know like the acronyms, right? Even though they're industry common terms, like put buy now, pay later, put examples of what it is, do a little explanation, say what competitive set you fall in. All of that's going to help when I'm a brand and I'm looking for, maybe I'm not looking for a specific publisher. I'm looking for a type of publisher or like a business outcome. Never thought of it that way, that Impact's Marketplace is essentially like a really big search engine for brands.
Yeah. And also you don't know what you don't know, right? Like as a brand, you may have a certain idea of what you're looking for, but you may be surprised when certain types of publishers show up. You want to make sure you get noticed in these instances as well.
That's cool. Anything else? Any other best practices? So you make sure your profile looks really good. Make sure you have the right terms. That seems like, hey, you better do that right off the start. You said something interesting before where sometimes people like publisher won't even have their website. It'll say coming soon.
Yeah.
Which is a really, you know, I could see someone doing it because when we're online, we think, oh, that's fine. We'll just have this thing. But if you were to open a store, like a physical store, you wouldn't expect to get any customers if, you know, the door was locked, it said closed, and there was like, you know, brown paper on the windows. So kind of treat this the same when you're doing that. So get a good profile set up. What else do you think is the best practice for publishers?
Yeah, certain other things that you can make note of. So having an updated media kit is extremely important. So brands, when they open the media kit, they want to know what promotional opportunities are available, right? If you don't even have a media kit, again, they won't know what you're promoting. If you have a media kit that's not updated, they won't know the different opportunities you're promoting. So always make sure you have updated media kits. If you have paid placement opportunities, make sure, again, that they're up to date as well. And I kind of, those are the basics. You want to make sure you have all of this in place. And once you kind of launch your program on Impact, then obviously brands are going to start reaching out to you, or you will reach out to brands as well. But one thing to note is that if you have your list of top prospects, and that's something every publisher should have, once you have that and you're reaching out to brands, make sure to include a personal note. Again, the same logic applies here. Brands are inundated with applications every single day, and you want to put your best foot forward, make sure you're noticed, add a note, explain what you're offering and why you would be a great fit for the program. And then, yes, once you have all these in place, things should work out smoothly from there.
Yeah. I want to touch on that media kit piece for a bit. So, I mean, I don't come from the affiliate industry originally. I come from advertising, and media kits are like the primary way that publishers will communicate, you know, what their audience size is, maybe some anecdotal reader testimonials if they have a website, right? Or maybe they'll talk about a specific time-based promotion. Maybe we're doing something for Mother's Day, or there's something for back to school and we're offering, you know, certain paid placements, or we have different products that advertisers can buy. I think that's something that a lot of publishers I've noticed in the performance industry skip over. And I think it's because the primary business model is this cost per acquisition, which involves, you know, a referral rate, essentially a commission when I drive a sale, which is pretty straightforward. But I think what people forget is that advertisers within performance, these brands, they also buy a ton of paid placements, fixed fee opportunities. So maybe you can talk a little bit around like what is a paid placement, and why is that an important thing for a publisher to include?
Yeah, sure. And I think you're right in a way, like publishers always viewed it as more like cost per acquisition. If you have a standard business like a coupon, cashback, deal website, or even like content, you don't need a ton of explanation of what you're doing. But at the same time, there are companies that are, I mean, like I said, the business models are getting more complex. It's not always like straightforward of just one type of promotion. Publishers promote a lot of different things like native advertising, commerce content. I know of publishers who have all of it in one place, right? So that's like the first thing. If brands want to understand your business model, they need to see something. So that's where first step, the media kit needs to be adding all those details. But yes, to your point about paid placement specifically, it's become kind of an industry norm now. Like if you look at some of the biggest media publications like Condé Nast and Wirecutter and New York Times, obviously, and CNN, all of these companies are in the affiliate space now. And more of these publishers are now promoting offers through paid placements. Like if you have Black Friday, Cyber Monday coming up, you can get like almost like an advertorial placement on one of these key websites in a important position, then they have to pay a fee for it. So advertisers are getting accustomed to this. And also, if you look at the convergence between influencer marketing and affiliate marketing, a lot of influencers ask for flat fees. So brands are getting used to the idea of paying on a paid placement fee. Having said that, there are usually some performance metrics attached to it. So if you'll basically see the clicks, conversions coming on the back of it, but pay on like a paid placement fee model. So it's really important to add these details in the media kit. Make sure that you have very clear segregation. If there are tiers, different tiers, the audience segmentation, who are you reaching out to, so that brands have clarity on why they're charging a fee and what they're getting out of it.
Yeah, and I imagine you can update your media kit more regularly than you could your profile. Like profile is going to stay relatively static. Your business isn't going to change that much where you're going to change the description of what you do. But the media kit is something that you could change maybe every season. And then also around these paid placements, I know there's certain times a year, like you said, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all of Q4, holiday, special events. There's all these moments where brands are very interested in you promoting their products if you're a publisher. But you as a publisher, this is the busiest time you have. Every brand, it's almost like it reverses for a period of time where maybe as a publisher, I'm spending a lot of time prospecting and trying to find brands to work with. And then these big seasons hit, these Q4 seasons, and all of a sudden, I can't even keep up as a publisher. There's so many people that want to work with me. So I think these like paid placements give that opportunity to say, hey, you might not be able to get it in editorially, right? It takes a long time for us to review products. We're coming up on this big season, but we do have some other opportunities where you can buy a placement, you know, in a listing. Maybe you could buy exactly like you said, like native ads or a dedicated newsletter. There's so many different opportunities that fall within there. So make sure your profile looks great. Then make sure you have an up-to-date media kit that talks about different promotions and offers that you may have for brands, and then communicate regularly with these brands, right? I think you can communicate either like with the chat within Impact. You could also email them. There's lots of like in-person times where you may be able to meet them at like an affiliate summit event or something along those lines. So anything else on best practices before we jump over to maybe some of the challenges that they have to overcome?
No, I think we've covered the key ones. And then obviously there are best practices in terms of making sure you're communicating clearly. There's trust built between the two parties. Just then the partnership, think of it as a long-term commitment, right? It's not a transaction. You want to make sure there's an engagement and a relationship built between two parties.
Okay, so what about challenges? What challenges do you think that publishers need to overcome with regards to their growth?
Yeah, sure. So I think we've already established, right, that the biggest challenge in this industry for publishers is getting noticed by brands and getting approval. So when I talk about that, I'm primarily referring to like either new publishers joining the affiliate space or a mid-sized publisher who's trying to scale their business, right? Typically, the established ones have massive user bases and they have strong relationships. So it's not as big a challenge for them, but the smaller publishers or the mid-sized ones are the ones that are facing these challenges. So think of yourself as a new publisher entering the industry. it can be quite daunting. Like, you can be easily overshadowed by the bigger giants who have these user bases already established. So navigating that takes a little bit of time and understanding what kind of the requirements are of the partnership with advertisers. But let's say that you manage to understand this, navigate it, and then secure some partnerships. The next challenge comes about when advertisers are expecting quick results. Like, hey, you've been on our campaign for 3 months. I'm not seeing the results that I expected. Well, maybe we pause the campaign or we reduce the CPAs, right? Certain partnerships and certain types of publishers take time to show results. So that's something more of an education piece for the industry in general, is giving enough time for a publisher and a partnership to flourish. Like, it's basically a stalling the growth before it even gains momentum. So you want to give partnership enough time to show results. And then on top of that, with all these challenges, there's also the challenge of relying on platforms like Google. So depending on what kind of models you have, business models, you could be vulnerable to algorithm changes. Like, that could disrupt your strategy overnight. So there is this unpredictability factor that exists in the industry as well. And publishers are always on kind of trying to figure out how to navigate these challenges. So these are typically the challenges that come up. But once even a publisher is established in a certain market, if they want to scale globally, then there are other challenges that come with understanding local cultures and making sure you have enough brand awareness in that space as well. So there are certain kind of areas where publishers really need to figure out their way to get in front of the advertisers.
I never thought of that there's, you know, there's kind of these two sets of challenges. There's, hey, I'm a publisher and I want to work with more brands. So that's one thing. I got to, you know, make sure that the brands know about me and make sure that they want to work with me and they understand what I offer. But then there's this other set of challenges, which is, okay, fine. I figured out a set of brands. They want to work with me. I want to work with them. That dating has worked out. And now I'm promoting their products. I'm reviewing their products, or I have offers that I'm giving to my audience. And I have to make sure that that also goes well. You know, I have my own set of challenges there. Like you said, I know Google makes algorithm changes all the time. They've made quite a few over the last year that have had some, you know, big challenges for some publishers. So I have to navigate that as well. I have to say, okay, well, if I'm not getting as much search traffic, maybe I have to build up my newsletter audience, or I'm going into a new market. So maybe I was in the US and I'm going to go to Australia, which is like the reverse of what you did personally, right? And yeah, of course, it's English speaking primarily, but it's going to have its own, you know, what products they like, what review sites they like to see. So there's this whole new set of challenges. It's almost like there's two big areas to overcome as well. So I think it's interesting that you started out agency side, you evaluated all of these performance platforms. You ended up choosing Impact as a customer, right? When you were on that agency side, then you move to the US, you end up working at Impact. And then you worked your way through both demand side and publisher side. So I don't know if there's that many people that have, you know, client side, agency side, demand side, publisher side experience. So I'm curious to get your thought on where you've seen it come as an industry, and where do you think the future of performance marketing goes? Do you have any thoughts on what that looks like?
Yeah, so I think you make it sound more fancy than it is. You'd be surprised how many people in this industry actually move from being a publisher to being a brand or to an agency or a platform. It is interesting. Like, yes, seeing kind of different sides of the industry definitely shows you the challenges that each kind of piece of the puzzle makes. But in terms of like the future, I do want to focus more on the publisher side of things. Of course, like, there's so many interesting things happening in the space. And if you look at where we've come from, right? So whether you call it partner marketing, affiliate marketing, performance marketing, pretty much kind of all mean the same thing. But the channel has come a long way. So if you look at not too far back in the past, like maybe 5 or 10 years, it still used to be like a niche channel, often overshadowed by concern of like fraudulent publishers. I remember like early days, we wanted to kind of make sure that we are not working with dodgy publishers because it would affect the conversions and the payouts and everything immediately, right? So there was always this concern from an advertiser perspective, like what kind of publishers we are working with. And which is why the adoption was limited. Like, advertisers were scared to enter the industry. If they did enter and they didn't have the expertise, they were worried like how this actually works. So it wasn't a long time ago, but basically affiliate wasn't like a flourishing industry. But fast forward to today, it's a $10 billion powerhouse. Like, it's grown significantly. And like I mentioned earlier, some of the biggest media companies work as publishers now. 80% of the advertisers in the US invest in this channel, right? So it's definitely come a long way. And personally, the way I've always seen this channel is as a microcosm of the broader digital marketing ecosystem, right? So if you look at paid search, SEO marketing, social media, native advertising, all the channels that you can think of in digital marketing, you can find a affiliate or a publisher kind of in that space, specifically working on a CPA model, right? So a person kind of working in this space has to understand these different models. Advertisers need to understand these different models as well. So there is kind of a lot of pros and cons to it. But for publishers specifically, these diverse business models allow them to flourish. They do paid search arbitrage, for example. So work on CPC model with Google, but then work with advertisers in the affiliate space on a CPA model. So that's interesting, taking the risk onto themselves. There are creators and influencers coming into this channel as well. Retargeting, commerce content. There's so many unique different models. And kind of this environment it's created an environment where publishers can flourish, innovate, and adapt as well. So I am super excited about the industry. And just, I would maybe share a couple of things that are interesting as I look in the future. So one is definitely the convergence of creator and affiliate marketing industries. So, if you, again, look at a few years in the past, like creators used to focus primarily on content production and brand partnerships. So it was more about the awareness of the brands and looking at brands that align with their audience. But now they're increasingly integrating affiliate marketing into their strategies to monetize their influence and audience engagement. You also see kind of a shift in the buying behavior, specifically for Gen Zs. They are trusting authenticity over hype, right? They are more value-oriented, looking for more ethical and sustainable choices. So they're doing extensive research. So they have like multiple touch points before they actually make a purchase. So this is interesting space to be in because influencers are really helping not only drive awareness, but also drive those conversions. To give you a quick example, I admire this company, Quince. I'm sure you've heard about them. They're kind of pretty active in the social media space and also have a lot of good clothing. So they did an interesting strategy for both creator and affiliate marketing where they teamed up with fashion influencers to showcase their high quality essentials and by creating like a month-long capsule wardrobe challenge. So influencers posted on TikTok, Instagram, all the social media channels featuring like how to style tutorials, outfit challenges for their users. And they also shared personalized affiliate links with discount codes of $20 off for their followers. So not only they were kind of adding to the awareness, they were also tracking these conversions through the affiliate channel. So this was very interesting kind of a business model. And now I think it's pretty common in this space, like publishers creators and brands working on a CPA plus a flat fee model. So it's giving an opportunity to brands to create multiple touch points across the entire sales cycle. So I think that's an industry to watch. I wouldn't say we are there yet in terms of being in the mature phase. People are still figuring out what works and what doesn't. And across also like navigating whether working with nano influencers, micro, macro, and every type of influencer has a different price point, right? So brands are still figuring it out, but I think that's one of the most interesting developments in the past few years. And then another one that I want to quickly bring up is publishers leveraging their first-party data. So, of course, with the third-party cookie tracking being gradually phased out, more and more publishers are trying to figure out, like, what do we do to collect and leverage the first-party data and deliver more personalized and relevant experiences to their user base? So a lot of interesting kind of business models have come up and over a period of time in this space. So, for instance, there are companies that are incentivizing users to complete surveys, like collecting first-party data of like behaviors and things that people like and basically delivering them tailored offers on the back of this. And then I'm sure you've heard of some on-site retargeting companies, mostly tech-focused companies, using brand first-party data to then power dynamic product recommendations and kind of contextual ad placements as well. Another interesting one to watch is financial media networks. So, of course, we've all heard of the trend that's coming up in the retail media space, but financial organizations, and you can see like Chase and Bank of America and all these companies kind of leveraging first-party transaction data to match audiences with relevant offers. And that's powerful, right? Like they have exactly insights into what this person is purchasing on a daily basis and what would make sense, either providing them with competitor offers with like strong price points or giving them relevant products that are complementary to what they're buying. So there's a lot of interesting things happening in this space.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think of like these, the way that the publisher side has evolved, where at one point, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, if you wanted to be in the affiliate or performance space and you were a publisher, you essentially had to be like a coupon publisher. That was essentially it, right? Like you had to offer some big discount and then you put that big discount in some place, in some forum, on your website, or whatever. I think what the performance model allows for now, though, is that it doesn't really matter if I can be a coupon publisher, that's fine, right? But I could also be a major website that does reviews that are along the lines of what my audience is interested. I can be an influencer or creator, and I can use, you know, I can work with brands in like a number of different ways. I can either do like, hey, I want to get a commission when I help promote a sale, or I'd like to get a flat fee when I promote your product, or whatever the things are. And then even these, like, you would never really consider them publishers in the past. Like who would consider Chase,
right,
or a Target or a Walmart in retail media, or you have like DoorDash and these delivery apps, or even your Ticketmaster and you're working with Spotify. There's like all these interesting ways that what we would traditionally call a publisher and traditionally call a brand, it's starting to get fairly fuzzy. Like I'm seeing, you know, these brand to brand where I'm a company and I'm not competitive with another company, but we share like a similar prospect of customer. So I say, hey, I'll promote your product in my newsletter and maybe you promote my product in your newsletter to your audience. So it's really cool. It's really expanded what publishers can do and how they can work with these different brands, and all kind of allows for it because primarily there's so many different ways they can contract, I guess, or partner with these brands. That's super cool. I think that'll just continue to open up. As you mentioned, this creator and influencer merging with this affiliate world. And I think one thing that's interesting with that, I worked in the creator space in the past. And one of the limiting things about a flat fee model is that if I'm a creator and I really love your product and I want to promote it to my audience, okay, yeah, I'll do a post, right? And then I do that post and you pay me X amount of dollars and that's it. It's over. Our relationship is over. But if I also want to do a CPA, a cost per acquisition model, and you're comfortable with that, we can say, hey, I might have lots of opportunities to talk to my audience. You know, I might, you know, go to an event. I might be promoting on different social channels. And I'd love to have like an ongoing relationship with you where I promote your product whenever I feel like it, whenever it's right for my audience. And we always have this like, you know, wiring between us that says, I can do it when I want to and you're happy with me to do it. It doesn't have to be just these one-offs. That's very cool. I love that. I love talking to you about this. I learn from you every time. So listeners of the show, Shania, to talk quite a bit and I just steal as much information out of her brain as possible. So this is the opportunity. That's why I wanted to have you on the show. Let everyone else steal a little bit of your brain for a little bit. But if you had one takeaway for listeners, so you just leave them with one thing, what would that one thing be?
So I think this is, again, talking about the growth and talking about publishers and brands and the industry in general. I strongly believe in this. So I'm sharing it for both brands and publishers. But basically, if you want to succeed in this industry and scale your business, you really have to think of the basics of the partnership, right? You want to make sure there's trust between both parties. There's clear communication of what each of the parties are offering. And you're providing real value. It's not just a transaction. It's not like you just mentioned. It's not a one-off thing that, hey, I promote you, I get a flat fee and I'm done with this brand. It's a longer-term partnership. And when both invested parties think like this, it leads to the partnerships growing sustainably. So all I want to share is that both brands and publishers should really think about when they're entering into an agreement, like what is it that they're looking for and how do they work together to get to that place?
That's great.
That's it.
Well, I think if you are a publisher out there and you're, you know, struggling to meet brands or you'd like to learn more from the team, Richa and her team, on how you can grow your publication, I'll put a link to a form where they can get a hold of you in the show notes. So publishers, feel free to reach out to Richa through that form, and you can steal a little bit of her brain as well, the way I have been for the last 3 years. So Richa, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. Lights are bright, we chase the sky. Media dreams, we take the flight. Partnerships, they lead the way. Success is what we aim today. Build the buzz with every post. Make the most, we coast to coast. From news to trends, we never stop. The publisher's playbook, got it locked.